Harry Ball, very nice to see you. Hopefully next month I'll see Nata Karanga Prabhu and all the devotees there in person. But I'm going to go right ahead. I already said Mangal Acharan, so I'm going to start this. And this session we're discussing Grihastha topics, or issues that arise in the lives of married devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement. And there are many issues and variegated issues, but there are some which tend to come up, similar kinds of issues which come up again and again. Now, it could be questioned, why is a sannyasi taking interest in this at all? Well, most of my disciples and most of the people in the world are married. And even after taking to Krishna consciousness, there are various issues which arise in the lives of married devotees, which often cause them perplexity, and they wonder how to go on in Krishna consciousness, what's the best thing to do. And I often get emails or devotees personally coming to me and expressing their difficulties. So I thought that I would have this little Ishtagoshti, we can call it that, so that devotees who are in that situation of being married, they can better offer advice than I myself, who don't have any direct experience of that, in this lifetime at least. Now, there are many Grihastha devotees who I could have called, and I'll ask all of you to speak on the various topics. Eventually, you who are with us today have kindly agreed to participate in this. The different devotees I've called, Nata Gauranga Prabhu and his wife, Gopal Achar Prabhu and his wife, they haven't come yet, Tapan Mishra Prabhu and his wife, Nitya Gaura Prabhu and his wife, and Shamasundar Prabhu and Sundari Radhika. Now, you're all from different backgrounds. The most similar are probably Nata Gauranga and Tapan Mishra, both being from what you could call the educated, middle-class Indian background. Both of you have left your secular lives to fully dedicate to Krishna consciousness. All of the couples I've called to participate, they all have children, with the exception of Shamasundar. They're all giving advice to others. So that's it. They have experience in giving advice to others. Nitya Gaura Prabhu and his wife are younger than others, and married more recently. So they don't have so much experience, although Nitya Gaura Prabhu's wife is giving guidance to newcomers, women in Krishna consciousness. So you all have experience not only as Grihasthas, but also in giving guidance to others. Now, I'm just going to state a couple of, or praise a couple of the emails I have received. If I can get them on the screen, Hrishikesh Prabhu. Just to give some idea of the kind of questions that people, devotees, send me. There may not be easy answers. It's not just you can snap your fingers and say, do this, do this, do this, do this. Situations are very complex, and even though we may offer advice, devotees, they may not be ready or willing to follow it, and they have so many considerations. Hrishikesh Prabhu, could I get that on the screen? Okay. This is from a disciple of mine living in a rural community in Europe with her husband. She says, we've been living under the guidance of so-and-so Prabhu for 10 years, and it's like being part of his family, but he is quite dominating, and not everyone can be can remain under him because he's so dominating. Even we left for 2 years, but then we came back. Now, she says that before taking to Krishna consciousness, my husband was a drug addict, and during the 10 years of his Krishna consciousness, he struggled to follow the four principles. It's like he has two personalities. One is as a very sincere devotee, and the other is a weak, depressed person, lying, and just can't say no to drugs. But I thought, she says, that as long as he is trying to be a devotee, I won't leave him. About 7 years ago, in one of his worst periods, he had a sexual relationship with a woman he was preaching to and made her pregnant. And then he begged myself and all others in our community for forgiveness. And we agreed, but on the condition that he breaks any contact with that woman. And we had a long period putting things together, putting our marriage back together. And it's been tough, but we've gone on. He has been following all the principles for the last 1.5 years until 3 months ago, when he became depressed and stopped communicating with me or anyone else. And one day he just left the community. And then we found out that he's again in communion with that woman. And he wants to help her. And she needs money and emotional support. And he wants to support her and to support that other woman and his wife, my disciple, who's writing to me. He's also initiated by me. I don't know, she says, my disciple says, I don't know how he's going to put these things together, these two ideas together, or if our marriage can be saved at all. I understand that Krishna is teaching me a lesson and I shouldn't put anyone before Krishna in my life. Philosophically, I understand, but it's often hard to deal with emotions and pain. Then in this difficult moment of my life, I got a lot of support from some devotees who helped me both psychologically and philosophically accept my situation, and their association encouraged me to study Srila Prabhupada's books very deeply, chant my rounds more attentively, and trust Krishna. And then, however, the leader of our community is very much against me hearing from others. I should only hear from him, he says. So anyway, that's it in brief. These are the kind of things, these complex situations which some grihasthas are faced with. There's no one in this world who doesn't have some difficulty in their life. But you can see some situations are very complex, and we'll go through some general problems that devotees often face later. Now, I'd just like all of you, I just request all of you to quickly introduce yourselves for the benefit of those who, before we get into discussing all these things, if you could all just kindly introduce yourselves one by one or two by two. So that those who will be listening to this later would get to know you better. Hare Krishna to Gopal Acharya and Shama Sundar, who came in the meantime. So Sam, give us a little summary of your sojourn in this lifetime. So
I joined Hare Krishna, first of all.
Hare Bol.
I joined, good to see you, Maharaj. I joined ISKCON in Canada, in Ottawa, 1976. And I was sent to, I went to India to get initiated, first and second initiated in India in 1977. I was recruited by the Bhaktivedanta Institute to study astrology in 78, and that's been my full-time engagement since then. I was also the head cook in Hyderabad and in Mumbai, the Gita Kitchen. So as an astrologer, I've seen dealt with hundreds, thousands of marital cases. I've been doing this since 1970s, started in 77, recruited in 78, so more than 40 years, and all kinds of strange cases. I was able to vicariously experience a lot of marital difficulties of other people. Also involved in a lot of legal cases as an advisor. And I have an interest in, because in the BI, I was not just told to study astrology, but to get into the philosophy of astrology, divination, and to do a lot of study about the cross-cultural connections between different cultures and divination. So I know a lot about ancient Greek history, Roman history, Egyptian, Chinese. A lot of history.
Okay, I understand your wife won't be. We would have liked if she could have joined, but I understand due to long-standing health.
She's
Okay.
joining, but without a without a, just with her picture. I think that's what
Okay,
we
because she has long-standing health issues. You have a lot of experience in advising in complex marital situations when people. When nothing else works, what do? Chant Hare Krishna and or go to the astrologer.
Well,
So you have a lot of insight.
should I make my comments now or later?
No, we'll just first of all go through all the
Okay.
devotees. So
Okay.
N Nata Gauranga
Actually,
Prabhu, where are you?
Prabhu Maharaj, actually, it should have been before it started, go to the astrologer, not after.
Okay, where are you, Nata Gauranga Prabhu? You're not in Nandagram.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, I have come to Rajpipla for a better
Oh, I see.
internet.
You left the farm to get the internet.
Welcome.
Okay, so please tell us about yourself briefly.
My name is Nartaka Gauranga Das. I am 46 years old, and I was born and brought up in Haryana. And I did my graduation from Dharmakshetra Kurukshetra, NIT Kurukshetra. And I came in Krishna consciousness in this year 1997. And since then, I was staying at various places, Delhi, Gurgaon, Baroda. And by Guru Maharaj mercy, I came to Nandgram farm at the year 2011. And since then, me and my wife, my family, I have a son of 16 years old. And my daughter is 11 years old. By Krishna's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are happily living here in the Association of Devotees. And we are very much thankful to Guru Maharaj for making such a place like Nandgram, where we are staying in the Association of Devotees. And my main service here is managing deity worship, education, giving education to children and to community members. My wife's name is Radha Nidhi Dasi. She was also bo born and brought up in North India, and she got initiated in the year 2004. She did her master's degree in dental, MDS, but she left that. She didn't practice dental surgery, and she chose to live as a housewife. And this was the advice given by Guru Maharaj and senior devotees, and to not to pursue her material career, but to become a faithful, good wife and helping the husband. So we are very grateful for this advice, and we are very much satisfied in our Krishna consciousness and serving in.
And before you went to the farm, you were also guiding so many Grihastha devotees, and now you are on the farm. You're also guiding a community of Grihastha devotees. So, okay, Tapan Mishra Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna, my name is Tapan Mishra.
Sridham, from Sridham Mayapur.
Jai.
By your mercy, Guru Maharaj. So my name is Tapan Mishra Das, and I'm joined by my wife, Indira Sakhi Devi Dasri. We are initiated disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. We currently reside in Sridham Mayapur. I came in touch with Krishna consciousness around about 97. And barring the first 2 years, me and my wife, we've had our journey of Krishna consciousness almost together for the last 23 years. We've been married for 20 years now, almost 20 years, and we have two daughters. Through our journey of householder life, we've had an opportunity to stay with our parents at the beginning of our marriage in a household. We also had the opportunity to stay as an expatriate living outside of India in different countries and trying to serve together as husband and wife. And then eventually we made the decision to move to Sridham Mayapur. So during this period, we had the fortune of interacting with various devotees as congregation members and in different spheres of life. So that's been our journey together as householders. And we are grateful now that for the last several years, we're residing in Sridham Mayapur. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Then over to America with Nitya Gaura Prabhu and Mataji Vaishnavi. Tell us all about yourselves.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Where's Hanuman?
My name is Nitya Gaura. Hanuman's sleeping.
He's sleeping, okay. How old is he? He's 2.5, something like that?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, he's 3.5.
Yeah. 3.5, okay. So please tell us.
Mr. Gaurdas, this is Vaishnavi Devi Dasi. We're both initiated disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj. And currently we're living in Atlanta, Georgia, nearby the Krishna Life Temple or Ashram, both trying to participate in the activities there. I came into the Association of Devotees in 2002 and took initiation in 2010. And Vaishnavi, was it 2016? 2016, Vaishnavi Devi Dasi took initiation from Guru Maharaj. And we've been traveling a bit since our marriage, I think every year at least one time, and every year moving somewhere else. But we've been here now probably the longest and finding, you know, some meaning to where we're staying here. So we've lived on a couple farms, serving on a couple of different farms and temples, and feel a lot better placed right now. Right now, I'm working outside. I install tile, or I'm still learning, but that's what I'm doing for a living. And I think Vaishnavi Devi Dasi actually has a much more active role with the devotees, the congregation at the Krishna Life, because she is guiding the women's sangha. That attends the Krishna Life Ashram. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
I'm having a lot of experience in terms of a lot of young women asking for advice on how to enter the Grihastha Ashram. So I don't know besides that what to say. I began associating with devotees and practicing Krishna consciousness in 2014, and we both grew up in Southern California, so we're good old match Americans.
So, Gopala Acharya Prabhu, please introduce yourself. Your wife. Is she going to come or not?
No, she's a bit too shy.
She's very, very. She's very, very shy. Yeah. She's always very quiet. Although she's very capable in so many ways. Okay, please then.
Yes, so I'm from Poland, and this is why I joined Krishna Consciousness. I started actually chanting in Germany, but I was allowed to come to the Association of Devotees in Poland, where I spent my initial years of Krishna Consciousness. Then I moved to Ireland, where I lived for almost 11 years. The last 4 years I've been here in India, in Salem, a community where I'm engaged at the moment in teaching in Gurukul. Both myself and my wife, we teach, and we were teachers also before Krishna Consciousness. Myself, teacher of English, and my wife, teacher of German language. Yeah, I do have a little bit of experience also advising some devotees who struggle within their married life. So I've been involved in a couple of cases. So I have some experience, and of course I have been myself within the Grihastha Ashram for the last almost 20 years. So I have some experience in that.
And you were married before you came to Krishna Consciousness?
No, not exactly. No. I started chanting in 97, so I wasn't at that time married, but we got married before we got initiated. I met my wife during my studies. So this is, we got married, and then maybe 1 or 2 years later we got initiated by yourself in 2005 on the farm. So we lived on the farm at that time in Poland, New Shantipur farm. Later we moved to Ireland. We lived also there on the farm for several years. And now we are here in India.
All right, and you have two kids also.
Yes. I have one son, 13 years old, and a daughter, 6 years old. So I'm very happy to be here in India, and they are part of the Gurukul.
Now, I'm just going to read out some of the kind of things. Oh, okay. Sundari Radhika, she's also ready to speak something about her. Quite amazing background in Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna in a war. That was her beginning in Krishna consciousness. Like to tell us, Mataji, this is Shama Sundar Prabhu's wife.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can, very happily.
Yes. I came in contact with Krishna consciousness through Srila Prabhupada's books. That was sometime in the late 80s. And then I started reading them. I was still going to school at that time. That happened in Croatia. And few years later, in 1991.
That means you're about what, 16 years old at the time?
I was in the high school. Yes, I was a teenager at that time. Mm-hmm. So a few years later, in 1991, I met devotees in person for the first time, and after that meeting, I surrendered my life to Krishna. Means I started chanting a minimum of 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the four regulative principles. And devotees immediately engaged me in book distribution for the first time, although I didn't have idea what that means. Then in the following year, that was during the wartime in my hometown, my father and I turned our apartment into the first Namahata in our town. And then from there, I continued going to book distribution whenever was that possible, because there were snipers and bombing. So I would go in areas which were more safe around my city.
That was the time of the war there in Croatia.
Yes, during the war. From 1991 till sometime mid-1994, I was doing Sankirtan and also collected Lakshmi for the temple by selling prasadam and incense. During that time, I missed the association of devotees because I was mostly going by myself out. So in 1993, I joined the temple was trained in different services like most temple devotees do. And we went together to traveling Sankirtan and started new centers in different cities like Dubrovnik, Osijek, Čakovec. And we were inviting new people to come, like whomever we met that day, we will invite them to our evening program, and we were giving evening classes. In 1994, so that's just short, and in 1994, I received the first initiation from Harikesh Prabhu. And after that, I was blessed to serve our temple deities, Shishi Gornitai and Shishi Praladin Singhadev, in our Rieka temple. And I was serving them as their head pujari for many years later. And in 2003, I came in contact with your books, Guru Maharaj, and in 2004, you mercifully accepted me as your disciple. And in 2007, I moved to Bangalore, to India. And there, after that, I got married to my husband, His Grace Sundar Prabhu. And same year, I also received the second initiation from Your Holiness. And I remember that at my wedding, you told me, now your husband is your main guru. So I continued serving in Bangalore while my health was still good. I served in the local temple by cooking bhoga for the deities, dressing the deities, giving lectures and seminars, but only for the ladies, for matajis in the temple and in our home. I don't know what else. I mean, this is like... just in short, and my husband and I together, because I learned Jyotish to a certain extent before I met my husband, but after we got married, I learned more than ever before. And we were also doing together compatibility for different devotees, trying to help in that way. So basically... that's in short.
Oh, one important thing I should say about Mataji Indira Sakhi is she's written a book, A Happiness Guide for Modern Women. That's important for women, especially Indian or anywhere, saying how real happiness, even material happiness, doesn't come from trying to get ahead and pushing yourself forward, but in the simple, natural, God-given way of being a wife and a mother. So that's a very important book. That's the that's one book which I'm also promoting to help devotees to understand.
I also promoted to Partha Sadukan. The Partha Sadukan contacted you. Mataji?
Yeah, he came to... Oh.
Partha Sadukan.
He did an interview with you.
He doesn't recall, but he did contact her, and he conducted two interviews also, which he published on his
website.
Yeah, it's Partha. Partha, yes.
Now, by the way,
I met Maharaj for the first time in 1980. And we were both in Calcutta.
Yeah, I remember on the balcony outside. Remember that?
And so many times.
On the balcony. So many. I just remember meeting you there. I remember one thing you said, that in Bangalore you get cow's milk. And that was something fantastic because you'd come from Bangalore. And in those days in India, to get cow's milk, that was something like heaven. Because you just didn't get it in most places. Okay, now Yeah, if you've got buffalo milk, you were lucky. Then here are some of the kind of issues that grihasthas face. Getting up in the morning. I'm talking especially here about most of the grihasthas live in the rat race, and they have to work hard, and they end up taking rest late, and then they get up late, and it's very hard for them to have a proper morning program. Sending children to school, where they are indoctrinated in a way of life which is not conducive to or has different values to that of Krishna consciousness. Sexual relationship between husband and wife outside of begetting children. We do have four regulated principles. But as I understand, it may be difficult. That's why you all have to speak about these things. Better I don't speak about this. Another topic. There may be difficulties when you go to visit family members and they expect them to eat with you, and they're very offended if they don't eat with you. And it may be that if you're in a business life, you go to some convention or something like this, and then you're expected to eat there, or you're going traveling for your business, and what do you eat, how do you eat, all these things. That's part of a bigger question of relationship with the larger family, the in-laws and brothers and sisters of the different spouses who are not practicing Krishna consciousness and are not very happy with you practicing Krishna consciousness. Desires to have a good life, to live comfortably, to live up to expectations of your parents, that you have a good apartment and enough income, and worrying about the future for your children, that you also want to see that they get a good job and enough money and a good education, all this kind of thing. Then another one, that a devotee might be very well behaved in public, but at home may be very rough in his behavior with the wife, or maybe the wife with the husband also. So some kind of duplicity may be there. Then it may be that in Krishna consciousness, the husband and wife, one of them prefers to associate with one group of devotees within ISKCON, or maybe even not within ISKCON, and another prefers to associate with another, because there are different flavors of Krishna consciousness and different approaches and different personalities, and then there may be differences in that way. Putting aside enough time for the family, because we're also enjoined to engage in preaching. How do we find time for the family? Where do we strike the balance? Then another problem. This is one which we hear about among non-devotees, and it may be there among devotees also. The husband beats the wife, who is afraid that if she complains about that, it'll get back to her husband and he will beat her more or divorce her. Treating the wife as a slave. Cruel words from one spouse to another. One of the spouses, that means the husband may not like the way the wife mixes with other men. And the wife also may not like the way, just in some social gathering, the wife might not like how men mix with other women. The husband wants the wife to go to work and earn money, but she doesn't. Or she wants to work, but he forbids her. One of them wants to send the boys to the children to Gurukul, the other doesn't. One of the spouses wants to let the children watch TV, eat chocolates, saying that the children should have some measure of a normal childhood. The other disagrees. The wife doesn't want to live with or refuses to gel with or obey the husband's mother. One of them wants to rise early and the other doesn't. These are all the kinds of things that we hear about. Regular problems that we hear about or difficulties that grihasthas face. Okay, I'll turn it over to all of you, and you can give some general advice, because each situation is different. And even if we hear what someone says, there's always another side to the story, and there's no perfect solution except that you become completely Krishna conscious. And even if you become completely Krishna, which isn't going to happen overnight in most cases, and even if you become perfectly Krishna conscious, there can be differences of opinion also. I'll turn it over to you. We could go through many sessions. I was thinking actually we could discuss some of these topics in some depth and then just come back and have more sessions later. Just so that it'll be there, and it'll be there on YouTube, and that will be something that grihasthas who perennially face these problems, they can refer to. So where shall we begin? Very complex situations, like the one I mentioned at first, of the devotee whose husband has a drug problem, and she also, apart from that, she has a problem living in the community where the leader is very dominating and doesn't give anyone any room to move. On the other hand, what does she do? If she moves, it would be very, very difficult for her and her children if she was just to move away and start all over again. So these kind of situations, you'd have to spend time, a lot of time, discussing and trying to give some guidance and trying to help devotees see Krishna's hand and how to go along with Krishna's plan in very difficult circumstances. These kind of complex situations, there's no one-line formula to sort it all out. Any general thoughts? Would any of you like to? I'd like you all to give some input. We can go through all one by one on your general thoughts on this whole wide spectrum of grihastha issues. Apart from that, we have to say that I think you can all say that grihastha life, it's not just a total disaster. That you all are sorry, I'm a sannyasi. All of you are evidence that you can live together year after year after year and go on in Krishna consciousness and make advancement in Krishna consciousness and be happy in Krishna consciousness, notwithstanding the various issues that arise. Shyamasundara Prabhu, are you ready to say something?
Yes.
you've seen dozens and dozens of these kind of situations you've seen again and again and again, right?
Dozens of hundreds. You know, this is like we're sort of like thrown into the middle of the mess, but actually, from a Vedic perspective, we want to avoid. This is the kind of things you want to avoid by doing things right at the beginning, as opposed to getting the problem thrust on you. So at the beginning, you know, the choosing a spouse is an extremely serious thing. How did this woman get, like, the woman you give that, she's married to a drug addict. How, she didn't know? So at the beginning, when they're still children, I could have For example, you could see what a person's marital karma is. That's what they have to live with. You're trying to eliminate, try to minimize that. I remember one time when I was studying
in Bangalore. You mean you can see by, could you clarify that? You can see what a person's marital karma is. That means by astrology you can see.
Yes, yes, definitely. They have, it's their karma vipaka. I'll give you a clear example. When it first lodged in my brain, I was studying in Bangalore. I was studying Prashna Shastra. I was with my teacher, with my tutor. And this young woman comes in. She must have been 19, 20 years old, young, attractive girl. She's holding a baby in her arms. And she's weeping. She was just crying and crying. She was getting the baby wet. And she's complaining. Her husband is a drunkard. Her husband beats her. Her husband has other women. And she was just going on and on and on about how miserable her life is. So then my tutor, he reads from the Bhrigu Nadi. Purva Janma Shatru. Husband was your enemy in your past life. Now he's married you and he's getting his revenge. So we only see the surface. We only see this very surface of the situation. We don't see what is the past karma which has brought this situation in. So the whole point, you know, in Veda culture is that you try to minimize that by matching, you know, doing things like, you know, scoping out the family is the before when I was studying, it was the girls' families who were very concerned that the girl marries a good boy, you know, he wouldn't be a rascal. But now with the rise of feminism in India, it's the reverse. The families of the boys are concerned that the boy doesn't marry a bad girl because because the laws are so crazy. So you have to be very careful because everybody has, you know, a certain type of karma for relationships. You know, some people they may have terrible relationships. I remember this one, Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta. So the girl who was the treasurer, she was complaining about how every man had always abused her and dumped her and this, and I got her pregnant and then left her. Then she decided she would become a lesbian. All the men are all bad. She'd become a lesbian. So what happened? Her lesbian partner abused her, beat her. You know, of course, didn't get her pregnant. But she just was treated horribly because that was her karma, her relationship karma. No matter who she got involved with, it was not going to be good. That because of her karma vipaka. Whatever she had done in some past life, it comes back. It's not by accident that you get it's not by accident that you get the spouse that you get. You know, if karma works in every other aspect of life, why that's supposed to be an exception? So I could have told at the time of birth. I remember they did this one girl's chart from Australia. I did her chart when she was 5 months old. So her mother told me just now that you had predicted that when she gets older, that she will make her business will be dealing in luxury items for women. So now her mother told me that she's a designer. She has a whole line of fancy female bathing suits. So when she was still in diapers, we could see that she would become a fashion designer. The same thing with the type of relationships a person is going to have.
How does that work if you're already in a relationship and it's not going well?
That's why it's easier. Prevention is worth a pound of cure. So in our, we have a society, right? So we want to prevent those type of things. It's a lot easier to prevent something and deal with it than as opposed to just having a mess dropped on your plate. Would you say so? We are trying to start like Varna Ashram. So prevention, if we can prevent that type of thing. And also to understand the type of problem that this person has. It's it's one thing that would blame this person, blame that, it's their fault. But what about your own karma? We don't want to blame the victim. but that person does have karma in that regard, isn't it? We all have karma. We all get what we deserve. We get the spouse, as Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami was pointing out one time, that we get the spouse that we deserve, who trains us. That spouse trains us in what we need to learn.
It's a continuum. We should see our life as part of a continuum then, from previously.
Yes. When you're giving a, such a complex situation, which is like trying to disentangle a plate of spaghetti, or the Gordian knot, you know, so many complexities are involved that it's mind-boggling. You know, like why are they living in somebody else's house? It's like it's so complicated, and the husband is a drug addict, and this and that. There's so many different factors. All I can say at that point in time, aside from just doing a lot of chanting, and that they may want to try remedial measures. Now, remedial measures simply means that you got yourself you're in a very messy situation because of bad karma of a previous life. You performed very negative activities in the last life, which got you into this situation. And there's a whole book called it's called Karma Vipaka. You know, if you do this, you get that. You know, even in Mano Samhita, it's got a whole section of Karma Vipaka. So, like, if you've ate eggs in the last lifetime, then you'll have difficulty having children. If you messed up with somebody else's spouse, then in this lifetime you'll have problems. So a person has done sinful activities in a previous life, and the reaction is this. This is the reaction you get. So, a person may try remedial measures to try to do something to please Krishna in this lifetime to negate the unpleasantness which they're feeling in this lifetime. And there's been, you know, some successes that way, but otherwise you just bite the bullet. It's gonna have to bite the bullet because it's a big mess. And that's just the fact of the world, you know, the facts of life. Not everything is smooth. Mm-hmm. It's very, very messy. Things can get extremely messy.
Bite the bullet means you just, because not everyone knows all these English idioms. It means you just have to accept your situation.
Matra sparsha satoshna sukha dukkha. Yeah, it's tolerated and not be disturbed. Extremely difficult. And a lot of it is, you know, why did you get that spouse? It's not by accident.
Your wife, she wants to say something now in this regard?
General,
there are many points that have been brought up, and just if you have some general comments.
Yes. After hearing the letter, that I would say the two major points caught my attention, which I found as root problems. The first is that grihasthas should have their own griha, home. Actually, it's called ashram, grihastha ashram. So it's a place where we invite Krishna, where we dedicate all our activities to Krishna. So it's griha. And in ashram, it's whose ashram is that? It's ashram of the husband. So if grihastha couple lives in someone else's house where there is another man who is in charge, then on a long run, it will not work, because
excuse me, I think there's a little misunderstanding here. I think what that Mataji was referring to, they're living in a community. They do have their own house, but they're living in a grihastha community, and there's one devotee who's the head of the community. But they do have their own house.
Okay. So also in this situation, my impression was that their Shiksha Guru became he was present in every aspect of that grihastha couple's life. And somehow probably husband felt inferior and not happy, maybe not so happy in that situation. And his wife is obviously spiritually more mature, at least the way how she presented, than her husband. So she was maybe going more, she was taking more shelter of another man, of their Shiksha guru, than of her husband, and discussing more things with her husband and investing more trust and developing and trying to develop a relationship with her husband instead of developing relationship with their Shiksha guru. Because my point that I try to make is that nobody should stand between husband and wife.
I think you meant to say that she was to have the Shiksha guru than her husband. Is that what you meant to say?
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't hear.
I think you meant to say was taking, getting more involved and taking more guidance from the Shiksha guru than from the husband.
But you absolutely said
the wrong way. Yeah.
Yes, and then Shiksha guru feels responsibility for both of them, but at the same time, he's also developing a strong relationship with someone else's wife. I'm not saying it's intimate relationship, but it's relationship where if she has some problems, she goes to Shiksha guru instead of dealing with her husband, for example. So I'm not saying only, I'm not talking only about this particular couple, but in general also that this is not good to discuss things with some other man instead of, or wife if she discuss, or husband if he goes to some other woman and makes close friendship with her instead of working on a relationship with his wife, then that brings disturbance in marriage. And in marriage, it's very important that partners are loyal to each other. Otherwise, it just disturbs when third person comes into marriage and gets involved in their marriage on a daily basis. It's difficult. It creates lots of problems. So now we have here four adults, Shiksha guru, husband, wife, and another woman, and there is a baby. So who is most important in those four adults? They all made mistakes in one way or the other. So I think we should see what's best for the child, because child needs both parents.
Well, there are several children.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
okay,
basically these are like few points that caught my attention, that grihasthas should live in their own place and they should work together. Women preach to women, or women associate with other matajis, men with men. So that minimizes all the problems and agitation in marriage.
Tapan Mishra Prabhu and Mataji, would you like to speak something? We're just speaking general things here, and then in another session, maybe we could get into other things more in more detail.
So the first thing that we like to mention is that Grihastha Ashram, like most other ashram, are meant to perform austerities. And austerities may come of accord of our karma, as was described by the devotees before us, or it may be voluntary. A lot of the topics that were raised now, they were a contrast, where there's a certain thing that should be done according to Guru Sahib, the right thing to do, and then there is the pushings of the senses. In a very general way, if husband and wife, whether they're already married, or they enter into marriage after coming to Krishna consciousness. So I was mentioning that in irrespective of the case, whether devotees, husband and wife, whether if they're already married or they're coming into marriage after becoming devotees, I think it's very important for us to understand that it's an ashram
there will be austerities like there are in any other ashram. It requires training. It requires correction. And most importantly, it's an opportunity to move forward in our Krishna consciousness. If we focus that, it will offer us an opportunity to develop our Krishna consciousness and then move into the next stage of life, which is meant to be Vanaprastha. Then a lot of the challenges that are thrown to us will be seen by ourselves. In the life that we've lived, either witnessing our larger families, our own household, rarely there's a time where there is no difficulty, confusion, communication, gaps, etc. But as long as we are committed to resolve it amongst ourselves, if we can resolve it, alternatively, if there are situations where husband and wife are not able to resolve it, they seek good association. And in some circumstances, such association is also coming from experienced householders. We like to believe that the challenges we are going through are the biggest challenges in the world, because it appears like that to ourselves. But the fact of the matter is there are hundreds and thousands of people going through the same challenges. You ask anybody who's been married for 40 years, and when they look at the problems that somebody's facing at 10 years of marriage, 5 years of marriage, 20 years of marriage, they will be able to provide that guidance. Given the fact that in most parts of the world, we are now not part of a joint family or a larger family system, these challenges, issues blow out of proportion. The egos between husband and wife, they get inflated, they blow out of proportion. So obviously, if we can be in a larger community seeking association or be part of communities where devotees are coming and living together based upon higher principles, then some of these problems would seem like smaller problems. And with guidance from experienced householders, devotees, we can try to overcome them. We don't mean to undermine or minimize the problems that are expressed today in the case of this particular Mataji and her family, which are extreme and very painful to hear. So these are some of the things that we felt in our own household that we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. At the same time, we also have to be thankful and count our blessings, as they say, thankful to Krishna for what he's offering us. In a sense of coming together as a family to be able to practice Krishna consciousness. Anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so when we were discussing these things earlier, we did want to emphasize that there is a need for communities to come together where the guidance of senior grihasthas is available, because what is happening with householders in ISKCON is there anyway the challenge of married life where people outside also face. But when we are trying to grow devotionally, it becomes a bit overwhelming because there's you have to earn a living and live the practical life. And on top of that, you also want to be Krishna conscious. So sometimes it happens that things that we face in our marriage, I can turn to my mom because she's had a stable marriage and I can seek guidance from her. But there are other things which I would turn to Mataji's, like Falini Mataji, because it's not straightforward problems which married couples face. It's peculiar to devotee couples. So we wish there would be more discussions like the one Guru Maharaj has initiated, so that people who are in Krishna consciousness and trying to progress at the same time, facing challenges in their marriage, that they would have more guidance, because these are peculiar problems which if you go to an outside marriage counselor, they may not be able to help you.
Could you give some examples of issues that are especially relevant to devotees? We did actually bring some of them up.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, because there
find it hard to rise early in the morning. Please.
Yes, there are issues like husband and wife saying cruel words to each other, which is common in ISKCON, outside of ISKCON. These are personality clashes. But problems like different level of sadhana, that one, the husband expects the family to follow more strictly than the wife is willing to or is able to follow, or the question of karmi education versus gurukul. So these are things which are peculiar that devotee families face, and they face conflict because the two people, the husband and wife, may not be on the same page. And we also discussed that this could be due to two reasons. One is that they don't have the same philosophical understanding. They, one person may not accept that this is the right thing. So that's a deeper problem because it's hard. It means that they have to grow devotionally. But on the other hand, it could just be practical problems that they may accept that, yes, this is what we want to do. But one person may be facing a challenge to actually be able to do that. So that's slightly less of a problem because it just means making some adjustments. So these were the two things that we felt need to be focused on when talking about conflicts in general. That are they on the same page philosophically? And if yes, then what are the practical problems that they're facing?
Thank you. Then Narto, Shamasunda wants to say something?
Yeah, and this is in regard to what Mataji was saying about one has a desire to follow sadhana in a certain way and the other one doesn't have a desire. That's actually described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, 11th, verse 25, where it says that the wife should follow the vow of the husband. His vow, whatever vow he's following. That means they should be of the same, that means they should be, if they're of the same varna, then she doesn't have any, you know, she comes from a if he's a Brahmin and she comes from the family of a Brahmin, she won't have any problem following his vows. But if it's, in other words, if she's coming from two different gunas.
Of course, we often find that people take to Krishna consciousness after they marry and you're already together. So if everything was done in a proper way, things would be much easier. But we're landing in Krishna consciousness, just falling out of Kali Yuga. So we have a lot of jumping out of the duck pond. We have a lot of slime on our bodies, which is hard to get rid of. Nata Gauranga Prabhu, please say something. I'm going off screen for a few minutes, but you can go on talking. Nata Gauranga Prabhu.
That's why previously people were trained in gurukulas, and then they were, when they become mature in serving a guru, and then they get married, they accept the wife, and they guide the wife also. But now in present situation, mainly two things are there. Men and women, they are not properly trained. And at the same time, suppose in this particular case also, we can see that this husband, Arjun, has a lot. So, one thing is the proper training before ashram, before joining Vedasasam is very important. That's why Gurukul education is very important. And people should become mature because the family life is complicated. It needs a lot of sacrifice. And just like in family life, we can see that mother sacrifices for the child, the wife sacrifices for the husband. If the husband is sick, the wife should serve her. And sometimes wife is also sick, the husband helps her. So these all things are necessary for working together. But in this Kali Yuga system, this Kali Yuga veins we have so much ego, so many ego clashes. So as previously devotees mentioned, there is a good need of counseling and guiding properly in that fashion, especially in Chamasundar's wife. Said that Mataji should preach to Mataji and Prabhuji should preach to Prabhuji. That's very important because in communities it may happen that in the name of preaching the other things may also fall. So that is one thing. People should be trained to people should be ready to sacrifice to each other. That is one point I want to make. Another point I want to make is accepting our faith. because Krishna has given us something as per our karma, as per our whatever past previous lives we have. Krishna has given us a partner. Krishna has given us a particular kind of fun, water. So we should be happy with whatever Krishna has given us for sure. As just like in prasadam, we don't see it's a laddu, it's a jalebi, or it's a bitter vegetable. It's a Krishna. So with that philosophical approach in life, if we go forward, we'll be happy in Krishna. Accepting whatever Krishna has given us. If we will always compare, okay, my wife is not properly chanting 16 rounds, my wife is like that, my son is like that. We expect so much from them. In Kali Yuga, it doesn't go like this. We can give them time, we can counsel them, we can try to train them, but at the end of the day, we should be happy with whatever Krishna has given us. That's the second point I want to make. Third point, as Kali people say, now the family who eats together, live together. So in Krishna consciousness, the family who chants together, live together. The family who eats together, live together. As I personally understand, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita together, husband and wife, and read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam together, that helps because it adds to communication, it adds to whatever difference of opinion we have. Because in Kali Yuga, difference of opinion is very common, just like Gurmat gave many examples. One is sent to Gurkula, the other one. Similarly, many examples are there. At every step, there is difference of opinion. So, if we reach Bhagavatam together, then whatever understanding we have, share with each other, and discuss it, share it, and then Krishna helps us. So for a mature family life, reading Bhagavatam together, reading Bhagavad Gita together, discussing it, churning it, and taking nectar from it, and then practically how to apply it, it helps. So my personal point I want to make is two things. One is, you understand, this Grihastha Ashram is competitive life, so proper training and Gokula is very much necessary for a good family life. As we are focusing on Bhagavad Gita, for a good populace is very much important for a general peace and prosperity in society. So, proper training of children from the starting of age and then getting them married, then proper governance and karma, and these all things will help us in the future for proper development of this society. And second thing is to understand that with life, whatever we have got is Krishna's prasadam. We should accept whatever the kind of wife we have got, whatever the kind of son we have got. And a philosophical approach in life is very much important to be content and happy. Third thing is reading Srimad Bhagavatam together, chanting together, helping each other. As said in Srimad Bhagavatam, these are things making the family spiritual, spiritually enriching the whole family. The husband has this very vital role. Just like in Bhagavatam, we read that Guruna Sasyat, Janina Sasyat. So husband has a main duty to drive the whole family to the lotus feet of Krishna. So husband should strive for that, and then association of devotees is very important, like Guruneshya Kola and the devotees side. Living in communities where such vibrant atmosphere is there, and that helps husband to take up that role, and that helps the whole family. Just like in modern culture, we see the whole atmosphere is geared up with sense gratification. It's very difficult to, in the modern culture, all billboards and everything is taking your attention to sense gratification. In that culture, it's difficult to keep up sadhana, difficult to keep up Krishna consciousness, and then all these problems are part of that result of all this sense gratification environment. So, my personal advice is be content with whatever Krishna has given us. Try with whatever, because previously grandmother, grandfather, dadi, nani, they all used to give advice to the new couples, and problems were there. Problems between husband and wife, but they used to live together. There was no question of divorce because they were trained in that way, that there is no question of divorce. They have to live with each other. and whatever problems we have, because this life is full of problems anyway, we should accept that. So that's what my general thoughts are very much. You can return.
Then Mataji, like to say something?
I think teachings are very important, the guidance from the starting.
I think you have to put that a little close. Please put the mic a little closer to your mouth.
The guidance is very important from the very beginning. Like we are seeing in our community, our three girls recently married, and from the very beginning of their age, they were here in the community and they were trained. They have to serve their husband, their in-laws, and very much of this training was there. So, we are seeing the difference in the girls of our community and outside girls. They are ready to accept, they are ready to adjust to any situation in their in-laws' house. So that training is very much needed. And the second thing, the association, like in the communities we are living. We can see the example of other devotee couples, how they are living very cooperatively, very happily. So we can be inspired to see them, and we also want to be like them. Then we can correct ourselves.
Gopala Acharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, a few points, general points, in regard of difficulties in Grihastha Ashram that I would like to make is, first of all, from my own experience, which is maybe not very vast, it is limited experience, but I would agree with Shyamasundara Prabhu that the choice of that future partner is very important, because most of those troubled couples that I've been dealing with, they are victims of incompatibility, which wasn't taken into account initially when they were getting together, in whatever way they did get together. So this is something that is still a problem within our society that is not recognized enough, the need of astrologer. Before we allow people to get married, that we need an astrologer, we need all the other compatibility considerations to be considered. That people should not be free to just to enter the relationship, because usually it becomes a disaster. If it's incompatible, after some time it just becomes a disaster and a very difficult situation. So this is one thing that I personally think that our society is really not providing enough of guidance to people in that regard. Like in Catholic Church, for example, in Poland, they have something that is called premarital counseling sessions, which is done by the priest. This is just an example. Maybe it's not so good, but it is an example of something that could be done. Another thing is that what I find is that oftentimes counselors themselves are not people who are really able to help. I mean, they are just incidental. Let's say the leader of the community takes it upon himself, but he may not be the best counselor in terms of married life. Oftentimes, maybe even being brahmachari, he may give nice general advice, but doesn't really help.
Brahmachari is advising grihasthas?
Well, it does happen, yes. But
you
of course,
the priest in the Catholic Church.
They do it also, but I mean, within our community, I've seen that as well. The leader takes it himself to give advice instead of maybe finding a system or establishing a system of counselors who could deal with it more successfully. So the general advice may be given, but people may not be able to follow that. We have Krishna consciousness, we have all philosophy, but the problem is that people usually they can't, they have limitations, which limit their ability to apply Krishna conscious ideals in their life. So myself, my own experience is that those difficult, troubled couples, they need an ongoing guidance, and it is helpful. It helps them in the sense that usually they are too limited by their own circumstances to be able to even see what's the solution. So they need someone who can be like a bridge between the two. That they can, sometimes they can't talk with each other even. So that third party, a person who is the well-wisher and understand the situation well, he can be of great help. But it is an ongoing help. It's not just one-off meeting that can solve people's problems. And and also another thing is that from my own experience, I can see that some of the people that tried to counsel others, they didn't help much. They maybe even contributed their contribution made more of a problem than a solution to others. So apart from training people, young devotees, and how to enter Vrihastashram, how to live within the Vrihastashram, I think we also need a very systematic training for those who are supposed to be those, helpful counselors. Because some people, they just can't do that. Do it daily, and more difficult for others. So maybe that much for now, from myself.
Thank you. Nitya Gaura, Prabhu.
I have a letter that I was thinking to ask Yugamaraj or just bring it out. But anyway, the main point, it seems that the roles of all these people is not clear to myself and other devotees. Not in detail, anyway. For example, the role of a shiksha guru, the role of the husband, and the role of the guru. In my particular circumstance, I think my wife and I, and I think it's obvious to you too, Gurus, that that my little Krishna consciousness, that's the point. I'm not. That's why I have a guru. I have less life experience. I'm not as Krishna conscious. So, my wife, she will go to. Should go to you, Gurmaraj, to ask these questions. I think we all feel that way. Some guidance, personal guidance or whatever. And maybe that's not very clear. Like in the case of this Mataji, I remember reading in Shiksha Outside of ISKCON by Shivaram Maharaj, and I felt it was well cited for a paper or a book. It was almost every sentence in there was cited with some quote by Srila Prabhupada or by Shastra. And he was saying that the Shiksha Guru has to take permission from the Diksha Guru, and nothing that the person says can be outside of the instructions of the Diksha Guru. So maybe a lot of the problems could be avoided with that particular problem. So that was just one thing. It seems like it's not really clear what all these people's roles are, and therefore maybe there should be a system like. Gopal Acharya Prabhu was saying to train up people who are expected to be guides or some kind of advisors to other devotees. That's all I was thinking.
In general, I was considering how, of course, practicing devotees who are considering marriage should seek out the guidance of an astrologer for astrological compatibility. But I was also considering how even culturally speaking, so many questions could be considered with regards to how each individual, potential husband and wife, want to practice Krishna consciousness, want to raise a family, want to live. I know personally for us, my husband and I, before we began to associate, I was living with my mother and I was understanding that we were going to meet and to speak. I was writing out so many questions that I had to ask him. And she told me not to make it like a job interview, that it would be too strange. And I took her advice, but when we met, Prabhu also had a whole list of questions to ask me. And so immediately we felt that we are quite compatible. We wanted to start this in the same way. And so so many of my questions I didn't have to ask because he asked me. And so we were just mutually answering these questions with regards to how we wanted to live our life, how we wanted to raise children, where we wanted to live, what we wanted our priorities to be, how we wanted to handle money, how we wanted our future to be, these kinds of things. If devotees, before really seriously considering somebody for marriage, considers this on their own individual personal level, what they seek in a potential spouse, and then make that very clear when they're actually meeting someone, once they already know if they're astrologically compatible, then I strongly feel that so many of these kind of issues could be avoided, because we've had some experience trying to help devotees meet potential spouses, and we're always advising to ask such questions. And often they will stop associating with somebody almost immediately because they find out that the other practicing devotee wants to send their child to public school, whereas they want the child to remain at home and raised by the mother. And so they discontinue their association. And in that way, even though they were so astrologically compatible and they got along so nicely and they found each other to be so friendly and polite and all of these nice qualities, but just strictly on this point, they understand we're not on the same page. So we should seek out somebody else that wants to live within their family life in a similar way. I was also considering how I've seen at least two examples of young devotees who marry, and because they don't, first of all, they're very unstable. They move from one community to another. And not only that, but well, because of that, I guess you could say they found themselves also just in a situation where there were no devotees. There was no devotee community for them to serve with and associate with. And then in both cases, they divorced. And so I just wanted to bring that up, that how important it is for practicing devotees, especially early in their marriage. There is going to be so much difficulty just figuring out how to relate with each other, that having the association of devotees that you trust and respect and can serve with and turn to is very important. Also, it keeps the focus of the marriage on Krishna consciousness if you're serving together in a community. And just one last point I was considering in general is a lot of these conflicts seem to come up because of too high of expectations of each other. Of course, we as a team in practicing Krishna consciousness, husband and wife should inspire each other and encourage each other. But I know personally, I've always found it to just be conflicting whenever I've just expected my Prabhu to, please excuse us, Hanuman is awake. Whenever I've expected Prabhu to do one thing or another in a certain way or another. I believe it was Mother Indira Safi who brought up the example of sadhana. And I was considering how in this day and age, grihastha life is very difficult because we're not living in dual family situations. They're nuclear single units. And so there's so much pressure on the wife to do so much of the household duties and raise the children. And there's also similarly so much pressure for the husband to work so much to provide for the family. And especially in the cities, cost of living is so extreme. And so because of all of this pressure for both parties to work so hard, and there tends to be conflict simply because of stress and frustration. And I just wanted to bring up that I've seen how in our householder life, we've become a lot more peaceful once we've sort of just not expected, not demanded so much of each other, but accepted what we could do and just try to help each other and understand that we're both doing our best.
Okay. Now this session is going to have to come to an end. We can do more sessions. You all ready for that? We can schedule more sessions. Obviously, there are many, many more things to be said. Are you all ready for more sessions?
Yes.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll work that out later. And in the meantime, thank you very much. I hope this will be useful. One observation is that the whole approach to getting married seems to be different in the West and in India. Even in India, there are love marriages nowadays. Well, I guess they've been going on at least since the time of Devayani. It's not, and there are so many, Shakuntala, so many. But many of the, just like Mataji Vaishnavi was saying, there's so many questions they have of each other. But traditionally in the Indian families, that would be done by the parents meeting each other. And it's not just the astrology, but compatibility also of income and so many things. We have to set up a whole culture. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to introduce Varnashram Dharma, in which there's Varna and Ashram. And the main ashram for most people throughout most of their life is the Grihastha Ashram. And unless we get the Grihastha Ashram together, we're not going to have much of a Varnashram Dharma. Many, many issues we have to go through. It has to be cooperative. And especially because we're new and the Krishna Conscious Movement, the worldwide Krishna Conscious Movement is new, we can expect that it's going to be a more difficult time. But gradually, as we establish the culture, it may happen over generations, then things should be more clear and more smooth, just like Dato Gauranga Prabhu and his wife were saying. Just recently, some devotees from the farm that they've been overseeing, they got married. And so for them, for us, we just see them as children still, but now they're married. But for them, they wouldn't have to face so many difficulties or so many questions like, what do you expect of this and what do you expect of that? Because the culture is already to quite some extent set up, and the expectations it's already there. Because in the culture doesn't, that's one thing they say, the traditional culture in India is very bad because it doesn't give you any choice. But that's one of, doesn't give you much choice. But that's also one of its strengths, that you don't get so much choice, so you're not confused and your role in life is set up from the beginning. You don't have to worry what job you're going to have because your job is already set up by your father and your grandfather just by virtue of your birth. So we have a lot of things to do to set up this culture. We're still pioneers. To some extent, the Brahmachari Ashram it's fairly clear what it is or should be in ISKCON. It's fairly clear what the Sannyas Ashram is or should be in ISKCON. Well, that is maybe more disputable. But the Grihastha Ashram, it needs a lot of working on. And then there's Vanaprastha also. So the whole Vanashram project, it needs a lot of work on it. In setting up these farm communities, how much time we spent before and even after setting them up, discussing, researching, Shastra, researching tradition, seeing how other people do it. A lot of work has gone into that, and gradually we're finding out what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. So it will require a lot of discussion, and it's not just talking and it goes nowhere. It does go somewhere, because it does help devotees to set a course for their lives. And of course, with Varnashra, it means we're not just on our own setting out the course of our life, as is there in the nuclear family, that each family sets its own course, but we're all together in this. So let's have some more sessions. We'll set that up later by email. And thank you very much for this introductory talk. And let's get together and do some more sessions. And let us pray to Srila Prabhupada and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, who are all Grihasthas, to bless us in our endeavors to serve their lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.